Hello.
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 Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
I think I speak for everyone here when I say, huh?
Here we are now. Entertain us.
Made of fail.
We never promised content.
Okay, at this point, you're abusing sarcasm.
Come on, let's get this gay show on the gay road. Help me out here.
Welcome to the second episode of Made of Fail.
Yeah, you made it this far.
Yeah, thanks for sticking with us. Thank you to any new listeners that we might have or might not have, or whoever.
Forced
just
at gunpoint.
Forced at, well, it tends to be the case with most of the people that I had listened to the first episode. If you are new to us, or if one of us just gave you an MP3, I just want to remind everybody that we do have a LiveJournal community that is set up for this. We can take comments both on there and at our email address. Dana, if you could give that out real quick.
That would be made_of_fail@yahoo.com.
And we will respond to them as much as we can, mostly because we have absolutely no lives and we're just sitting saying, why won't people listen to us?
We need more people to listen to us. Listen, listen, listen. We're important. We have large egos.
Also, if you do enjoy us,
why?
Let people know. Spread the word. Of course, if you think we're the most horrible thing to grace the internet since Goatsy.
Screw you, basically. Don't listen.
Now is the time for quiet and silent and private reflection. Tell nobody. You love us? Tell everybody.
Alright, I did have a couple of corrections from episode one. I had mentioned that Camelot had parted ways with Nintendo. This is absolutely 100% not true because I don't know how to research anything. They recently released We Love Golf for the Wii, and theoretically, they're going to be developing an unnamed RPG, cross your fingers, Golden Sun 3, hope, hope, hope. Also, I didn't know last episode whether or not the Game Boy Advance bonus dungeons were going to be in the DS version of Final Fantasy IV. I went to eyesonff.com, asked around, they said no. Which is very disappointing because I really liked those.
I actually did talk to my friend Tessa, who I mentioned that I would be talking to about that, and she said that basically they felt that the bonus content from the Game Boy Advance port did not fit with the general feel of what they wanted playthrough of the game to be. They didn't think it fit well with this new release.
But I liked it.
Well, and you still have the Game Boy Advance version, so you can still play it.
I do. So there you go. Now there is a reason to buy the new one.
Exactly.
Okay, you remember the Why Stuff is Awesome segment? We're taking turns. It's Kevin's turn.
Why Stuff is Awesome, number two. One of the better time periods for music is the 90s, actually. A lot of people will say the 80s without realizing that, you know, despite what VH1 says, a lot of 80s music is pretty horrible. It's not good, people, just because it's from the 80s.
You can still like it, but you
can still like it, but there's no reason that you should say it's good just because it's from the 80s. But a lot of stuff from the 90s is still really popular today for very good reason.
Possible it's just a generational thing. It's possible we're just totally biased, but in my opinion, we're just right.
Yes. Why would you question us?
Yeah.
Anyway, the 90s was one of the main venues for the genre alternative rock, which definitely came away from the rock and roll of our parents' generation. But one of my favorite parts of 90s music is a genre that is not really an official genre, but I like to call the bipolar 90s.
And why is that?
The bipolar 90s, there were a lot of bands that generally released all these nice, peppy, upbeat songs that, if you actually looked at the lyrics, they're the most depressing things that you had ever seen.
Nobody ever pays attention to the lyrics.
And that's,
until
I
you
think,
start to sing them.
Exactly. And the thing is, a lot of there are bands that are famous for this. You've got Third Eye Blind.
Jumper.
Yes. Jumper is the most common one that I actually have on my computer. And it's just so depressing, but it makes you feel good just to listen to.
Until you pay attention. So I guess the moral of the story is don't pay attention to the songs. Just kind of rock out.
And you see this all the time. There's the Counting Crows, which may or may not count. There's the Gin Blossoms,
Let's just say that Kevin's and my tastes in what are good bands and what are not good bands tend to be kind of disparate, and I'm neither going to confirm nor deny bands that he happens to cite here.
The Gin Blossoms are perfectly valid. I mean...
you could say that with a straight face.
You and I will always disagree on this.
It's fun! I can't love you for everything.
You know, the Gin Blossoms, I really do feel, are one of the bands of the 90s that are just... Even if you don't like them, you have to understand that they are the epitome of the sound of 90s music. It's you think of 90s music, you think the Gin Blossoms. You've got the happy feel. You've got just the cool rocking out with the windows open, driving through town. It's just... they make you feel good. There's not really any point to their songs. It's just the generic, hey, mindless, awesome rock.
Hey, Jealousy. I found out about you when I followed you down.
Allison Road. Why did you follow me down, Allison Road?
Well, because one of your taillights was out.
Yeah. And the Gin Blossoms, and Dana gives me so much crap about this, but the Gin Blossoms are one of the things... One of the reasons why the tambourine, yes, is a valid acoustical percussion accompaniment.
You say that and mean it.
I will bring my tambourine with me next time I go see you, and we will rock out to the Gin Blossoms because you offered it.
I offered it as a rebuttal against you wanting me to play the Goo Goo Dolls, which is impossible because they play foosball with the Tuners.
Well, there you go. You said, hey, we'll do the Gin Blossoms, and we have yet to do that, okay?
I'm sorry.
All right, if we do this, we're going to record it, and we'll have a link to that in an upcoming episode.
Oh, Christ, don't do that. I'm not a guitarist.
And I'm not a singer, so it evens out. I'm not a singer. It evens out.
Are you done with the Gin Blossoms? Because I have the perfect rebuttal.
What is the perfect rebuttal to the Gin Blossoms?
They just played Neighbor Days.
Yes, and you wanted to go see that.
I was thinking of you.
Yes, and it was very sad I wasn't able to. I wanted to.
Well, that's
They played the Naperville Days celebration. And, well, I mean... a couple years ago, the Violent Femmes were playing at the Glenview Days Festival in one of the new shopping centers that they built over the Glenview Naval Air Base, called the Glen. I don't know if you can see that there's a pattern going on here. Yeah.
How's that dead air going for you, Kev?
I'm not sure how I like it, but
you're
know,
a massive professional. You're going to have a hot recording career.
This is totally going in my portfolio. All this awkward pauses and the dead air. You guys listening are just, you know, wanting to turn off your iPods
right now. You know what this
reminds
me of?
What does this remind you of?
It reminds me of my adolescence. Nothing but awkward pauses.
Reminds me of everybody's adolescence.
Anyway, I promised last week that we'd do a Jack Thompson story. So now it's old news. But I figured what the hell, we were getting too long last time anyway. But if you don't already know, Jack Thompson is no longer legally allowed to practice law in the state of Florida.
Awesome. They had been discussing disbarring him last time I actually read anything about this. This is news to me.
He got disbarred on June 4th He was found guilty of 27 violations, including making false statements to tribunals, disparaging and humiliating other lawyers, and improperly practicing law outside of Florida. And if that wasn't enough cause for celebration, you're going to love this. The judge ruled that he cannot apply for readmission for at least 10 years. So hopefully everyone will go on a shooting and whoring rampage in GTA 4 to mark this stellar occasion.
And you mean they need a reason to do that?
You know what's really screwed up? Well, before he stormed out of the courtroom after the ruling, his whole defense this entire time while the charges were being brought against him, he was stating that they were unconstitutional because everything he claimed about the media was stemming from his Christian beliefs.
Wow.
Yeah.
He just won a lot of fans with that one right there.
Mm-hmm. Last time we offended Japan, so now let's start alienating religions.
Damn Jews.
He can say that. He's Jewish. It's okay.
Wait, not seriously?
I'm an atheist.
Wow. Okay, well, speaking of that, you know, you're going to give me hell for this, but there is some semblance of a point that Jack Thompson does have. It's completely hidden beyond the layers of psychosis, and it's been blown way out of proportion, and it got to the point where he was focusing on completely the wrong things. But there is the issue of mature rated games being available to young children. And
well,
the fact
carding
is
pretty hard now, to be honest with you. They're carding pretty hard nowadays.
Well, I'm not necessarily certain that is a bad thing, because
I never
raises
said it
awareness.
Was. I don't think young kids should be playing things like GTA 4, or, you know, whatever.
I had a job at the local GameStop a few years ago, actually when Vice City came out, and that was the Grand Theft Auto sequel to Grand Theft Auto 3 that was set in the 80s. Again,
which one was the one with all those hidden hacks that you had to, like, get all kinds of external hardware for, and Thompson was claiming, you know, oh, kids are gonna, you know, rape whores with boobs and have sex and blah, blah, blah. What was it called? Was it called Hot Coffee Hack? Something
like that?
The
Hot Coffee Hack was in San Andreas, and I'm very surprised I actually know that. San Andreas was the one.
I don't actually play GTA 4.
San Andreas was the one with the black protagonist.
Right.
The one that was Vice City, that was in the 80s, and it was like a scene out of Miami Vice, except, you know, the R-rated version.
Oh, I've seen it. I've seen it. Carl and our old roommate Chuck used to play it all the time.
I've never really been interested in the Grand Theft Auto games, but I was working at the local GameStop when that came out, and I was one of the only people at that store that actually carded people, and it wasn't state law at that point where you had to.
Do you have any really funny stories from that era?
I've got funny stories, but the story I was going to tell is actually a really sad story, and actually just emphasizes the point.
All right.
Because you got the parents that buy the games for their children to get around people carding. The children say, "Hey, I don't play this game." And the parents don't care. They're like, "Oh, it's a video game. It can't be that bad." They don't look at the ratings. They don't look
at
what.
No, you know
what
it is? They don't
box.
Care until somebody tells them they should care, and that's just shoddy parenting.
That's it. Yeah, and that's a horrible thing. But there were all these kids that were getting away with this, and the parents. Not only that, I made it a point to tell the parents exactly what was in this game.
That's pretty cool.
I would say, okay, are you aware that this is a mature rated game? And if parents were like, "What does that mean?" I would explain that this game is rated mature as comparable to the R rating for movies, specifically for the excessive amounts of graphic violence, strong language, and incredibly sexual
and
situations.
There's boobies.
There's, well, I mean, the best way that apparently to regain your health in the Grand Theft Auto games is,
oh, I know.
One, pick up a hooker. take her to an alley, watch the car start bouncing, and your health goes up and your money goes down.
Step 4, profit.
Well, I'm not kidding. She steps out of the car, you run her over and get the money back.
Do you get syphilis points?
You should. You should. That would make me want to play that game. Just for that. And some of these parents were like, oh, really? That's in this kind of game? No, Billy, you're not getting this. And the kids would look at me like, dude, that's not cool. What are you doing, man?
Cap, you're a narc.
The really sad parents were the ones that were like, yeah, I understand that. How old are your children, sir?
Is your children learning?
Yes. How old are your children, sir? Oh, he's 9. Like, and you're letting him play a game like this? I don't care. And at that point, you know, I'm not required by law to refuse to sell the game, and I actually can't. I would have gotten fired to refuse to sell the game at that point, so I sold him the game. That's just a really horrible thing. But the funniest story I'd ever seen was when I was working, and these parents came in with their 3-year-old boy. Couldn't have been any more than 4 at the very highest.
All right.
And he was browsing the bottom of the PS2 shelf because that's all he could
can't reach.
Reach
any higher.
Yeah. and he picked up Vice City, walked over to his mother, held it up proudly like it's a gold star that he got from his kindergarten teacher.
Da 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 da.
And said, "Mommy, I played this game at Tommy's house." And the mother who understood what the game was because she was one of the cool parents that actually know what their children are playing. Her face went white and said, "Well, I'm going to have to speak to Tommy's mother about that now, aren't we?" And I just wanted to
figure out how to play these things. I have enough, you know. I grew up, you know.
Are you kidding?
20 years ago, I had two buttons and a D-pad, select and start, and I actually didn't even get a PlayStation 1 until about 2002, and I was immediately bamboozled because I'm a horrible technophobe.
Yeah, well, that's just you. You're not really the...
And it still astounds me that kids as young as 3 have the motor skills
capable of
you know, pressing 30,000 buttons at once.
Well, to them, it's normal because to them, especially if they're really, really young, that technology has always been there. And with obvious exceptions, kids will always pick up technology much faster than their parents because the parents have spent most of their life with, the older versions of things or things that didn't even exist, and new things are coming out, and they're like, well, how does this work? What is this? And the kids are like, oh, you just do this, 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 and this, and it'll turn your socks inside out for you.
Right, but Kevin, see, it's freaking me out because when you talk about kids and their parents, you're not talking about us and our parents anymore.
We're talking about our generation's kids. Yeah, well...
Man.
A story that my father loves to tell, either to embarrass me with how much of a geek I am in front of people that we know, or to...
But we are not embarrassed about being geeks.
No, but either to try and embarrass me or to be proud of how intelligent I was at such a young age.
What happened?
Well, here's the thing. you know when travel agents used to exist, right? We used to go to a travel agent all the time. Well... They're barely. They mostly exist in the form of places that are similar to like Apple Vacations and Expedia and that kind of thing that sell packages.
Oh, so it's basically here. I'll go to Expedia for you.
Well, it's like here we've got all these packages with these deals for you so that you can actually go to us at your travel agent instead of going online and booking all your stuff on your own, which you can do now that the internet is like air now. But no, we used to go to the travel agent all the time. We had our very own specific travel agent, and I don't know what this was for. My dad says I was no older than I was probably no more than 4 or 5, my dad says. I wandered off because listening to mom and dad talk to the travel agent was boring. And I went to one of the unattended computers, and my parents saw this and were like, "Oh no, Kevin, get away from that!" And one of the travel agents who went with customers said, "Oh no, it's fine. He can't get into anything." next time they look up, I'm playing Tetris. Wait. Yes. Wait a minute. The travel agent said, and I quote, "I didn't even know we had Tetris." and this is the technology will continue to just grow in just exponentially.
And it's freaking me out. And really, I'm turning into my grandfather.
But we're also, as a culture, becoming more and more dependent on the technology. And one day when it's gone, we will have absolutely no skills whatsoever. Another example from my father, we were up in Seattle not too long ago to attend my cousin's bat mitzvah. And we had taken Aretha, which is our name for our GPS that we got earlier this year. Call her Aretha because the first time we tried her out, we routed music through her, and Aretha Franklin was playing, and we were like, "Oh, that's a good name, Aretha Garman."
Kevin, your family needs hobbies.
Yes, I'm well aware. Anyway, we took Aretha, and we're using her in the rental car, and the temple was not far from our hotel, and my dad is very, very good with directions, especially places he's never been to before. He drives there once, and he remembers how to get there. He got there the first time by using Aretha. We left the second day when we had the actual bat mitzvah was there, because the night before was like the Friday night service, but on Saturday was the actual main service with the bat mitzvah, and we didn't have Aretha. And he was like, "Okay, I don't remember what street we were on," and that just the fact that he couldn't remember how to get there somewhere he had just been the night before, that's not far from the hotel, just really shocked him. He's like, "Wow, just in this short time I've become so dependent on this technology that I found it very difficult to function without it." And that really is frightening if you stop and think about it.
I wasn't paying attention. I've been playing Final Fantasy III this whole time. I can't live without it.
Thank you, Dana.
I love you, Kevin.
Yeah, I can fire you from this podcast, you know.
You're never going to find a foil as good as me.
Oh, well, you know, there's Reynolds.
You know, I set you up for that knowingly.
Yes.
I did.
Right. But, yeah, technology, frightening.
Didn't you have, like, another segment you were supposed to do after this, and you've still been talking the whole time? This was my segment. You bogarted my segment.
I expanded on it, and honestly, this is really what we should be doing. We shouldn't really have a set structure. We should just have a general thrust of what we want to do, and then just
dirty.
Freestyle. Just freestyle, so...
Are you going to lay down some funky, fresh rhymes?
No.
DJ O'Shea?
No.
No?
No.
You don't do anything nice for me.
No.
Can we move on?
No.
All right.
I made you an internet celebrity.
And I can break you just as easily.
All right.
Do your thing.
Actually,
do your thing.
Incidentally, I do believe that we could be sparking more listener response.
Maybe if we were better?
Maybe if we were better, but also if we, you know, had some sort of interactivity. If we got emails, we could probably read them out or read our responses on the air. Or...
Yeah, so, you know, send us email.
Yeah,
we'd
we'll talk about
it.
You on the air.
And
make fun of you on the air.
Everything we're going to say is true. so you better watch out.
Yeah. Or we could have some sort of web poll going and say, hey, we can ask a question, see what kind of responses we get, and then discuss it on the next show.
I know I told you I just got a webcam, but I am not going to do a web poll, mister.
But there's the Carmen Electra game coming out for the Wii.
The what?
There's a Carmen Electra game coming out for the Wii.
Does it come with its own stripper pole? Oh my god, am I giving Nintendo ideas?
Apparently, it honestly is a stripper training game.
And you gotta be kidding me.
I am not kidding
Tell
you. I saw this online and it's
because so it must be true.
Well, you know, we'll look it up. We'll look it up and we'll post it. We'll post it in the community and make sure it's real. But I saw something about a Carmen Electra game coming for the Wii. That's basically because you know there's Wii Sports. Now there's Wii pole dancing.
So now we're going to have Wii whores. Nice, nice.
Yes.
I hate strippers so much. I'm sorry, I can't get behind this. Or up and down it, as the case may be.
The case may be, yes. Alright, well, let's see, we did music, we did video games, what else is there to talk about?
Oh, I had a whole bunch of random crap, because I couldn't think of an actual segment. I wanted to let people know that Heroes Volume 2 is going to be available on August 26th. They've got a really good price for it on Amazon. They're selling it for $25.99. That's going to save you about $14. So
we'll link that in our show notes.
Yes. Same day, Gypsy Morph by Terry Brooks is coming out. That's the third book in the Genesis of Shannara series, which I really, really, really like. If you've been reading Terry Brooks, you know, his Shannara series has this whole back mythology about the Great Wars, which was the decline of civilization that led to the Shannara world, the world of magic. There was a world of science, you know, which was really, really strongly hinted, hey, it's us. And then a whole bunch of shit went down, and then magic started to take over. And this is the genesis of Shannara, is all the events that are, you know, it's post-apocalyptic. The Great Wars just happened. The decline of man is happening. And it's, I want to say it's maybe like a century into the future. Could be a little bit shorter than that. There's no specified time, but yeah, it's pretty cool. If you like, it's not so much, there is fantasy element to it, but if you like even just post-apocalyptic stories, you know, there's a little bit of that in there too. So it's pretty cool, and I like the whole series. And that, did I already say that was going to retail for $17.82? If I did, I said it again.
You did again.
Okay. Also found out that Microsoft is no longer going to be selling Windows XP as of June 30th. So if you get a new
Vista
computer...
Vista or nothing, baby.
What?
Vista or nothing, baby.
Oh, no, no. So if you're going to get a new computer anytime soon, you better find an XP install disk and put it somewhere really safe. Or at the very least, back up your completely legally purchased copy. I'm just saying.
Well done. Very well done. It's incredibly casual right there.
As far as support, Microsoft security updates, they're still going to continue to work on XP through the Windows Update system until 2014. And, you know, by then we'll all become cyborgs anyway, and we won't have to worry about this shit. Failing that, just download Firefox like everybody except me.
You know, I use Internet Explorer, and it works just fine for me. I know a lot of people give me a lot of flack about this.
I get crap, too. You wouldn't believe. All my computer geek friends, they
look at me.
If
I wanted to be proselytized at, I would go to church. That's all I'm saying.
The other thing. The one last thing I can say. There's a new trailer for Final Fantasy up. I can speak English.
Wow, very well done.
To read makes our speaking English gooder.
Thank you, Xander.
Final Fantasy Dissidia is a fighting game for the PSP. It's only going to be released in Japan. I don't have a release date yet, and I'm not 100% sure if it's coming out to the US, but if it doesn't, I'm going to go riot.
Dana?
Yes?
Is this going to be another Urghise? Urghaze, however that was pronounced.
No. No, it is not.
Okay.
It is all Final Fantasy characters.
Okay.
It looks amazing. There's a storyline to it. Don't know what it is yet, because it's all in Japanese, and I haven't progressed that far yet in my Japanese studies. But if you want, I am going to link it in the show notes. It's at GameTrailers.com. And I got two things to say about this trailer. Be prepared to sink into a pit of despair over the character that they just revealed this character is going to be in this game. He's at 2 minutes and 13 seconds in. And when my husband and I saw it, we both just... We said an invective, shall we say, out loud and cried a little. But then we saw Squall fighting Sephiroth and everything was okay again.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, yeah. Definitely, yeah. It was like, wow, and then more wow, and then I just kind of, you know, sat there and watched it over and over again.
Okay.
So.
Well, was that everything?
That was everything.
Everything that you had.
I got nothing to contribute this week, so everyone's spared from hearing me yammer on for 47 minutes.
Okay, well, going back to book news for a second, I was looking up because I'm pretty sure that the fifth George R.R. Martin book, A Dance with Dragons, the fifth part of his Song of Ice and Fire series, was supposed to be coming out pretty soon. It's as of right now, it's been pushed back to April of 2009. It's because the book is, now... As of right now, as of June 2008, the book is still unfinished. Also, there's no new word on the next Discworld book, but he will be Terry Pratchett will be working on the new one after he finishes Nation, which is not a Discworld book, but I'm going to check it out anyway.
Y'all done?
Yes.
You want to start pimping for more listeners? Because, you know, I think we're going to start timing our shows to how fast I can finish a bottle of root beer.
Is that what our basis is
I think
these days?
So.
Are you finished with your root beer?
Well, it's nighttime, so we don't have a sundial.
That's true.
So I think we're just going to go with this.
Okay.
What was
well,
the web poll that you were thinking of?
I actually hadn't chosen one yet.
Okay.
But
when he does, it'll be up on the on our main hub site, which is if you haven't gotten there through there. If you're a new listener, you can get there at http://community.livejournal.com/made_of_fail_pc.
And I'm still working on getting this listed in the iTunes search listing for podcasts. Hopefully once we have more than one episode up, so hopefully after this second one goes up, it'll start actually recognizing us as a podcast. And we'll put us in the search. Otherwise, you can go through the link in the LiveJournal community through FeedBurner. It'll give you a link to set up a iTunes subscription so that it'll automatically download through iTunes. Or there's lots of other ways you can subscribe to this.
Yeah, we gave you about a million options.
Including, interestingly enough, if you don't have any preferred RSS aggregator or LiveJournal or anything. Email subscriptions, where you put in your email, and the new episode, whenever it gets posted, gets emailed right to you. You don't have to go searching it out.
I have a kitty listening to you.
Do we have Snuggles, or do we have Kyle with us?
We have your nemesis.
We have Kyle?
Pointy Kitty remembers you.
Hello, Kyle.
All right. Oh,
no more feline trebuchets, please.
I guess that's pretty much it. I did want to say one last thing before we sign off. Unless you've been living under a rock, you already know that George Carlin died on June 22nd, which was right after we did our last show, so we didn't get to say anything about it then. And
George Carlin, counterculture revolutionary after he started doing his shows after he came back from, I think it was Vietnam. And it just
also
brilliant
Rufus.
Comedian. Also, yeah, he starred in parts in various movies, including playing Rufus in both of the Bill and Ted movies. He had, what was it, 14 HBO specials, 20 recorded albums. He won, I think, 4 Grammys for his album.
Pissed off
albums.
The FCC like you wouldn't have believed.
He actually had a Supreme Court ruling because of him.
Right.
And because of, which sketch was that, Dana?
The 7 Dirty Words sketch.
The 7 words you cannot say on television.
Right. So I just wanted to take a moment to say a few. I really just wanted to say a few words in his memory, if you wouldn't mind, Kevin.
I don't mind. Fair warning for our listeners. Warning's over. Continue.
Shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, motherfucker, tits.
Thank you. Thank you, George Carlin. You will be missed.
Definitely. All right. Till next episode.
Have a good night.
My name is Will Wheaton, and Jack Thompson can suck my...